Under Second Act in Scandinavia. About a Swedish UFO contact, Antti Jonsson's experiences. Translated some from the book The Colonization of Earth from Cosmos, the real title Jordan's Colonizing Fra Cosmos of Rune Overby, printed 2008, which had excerpts of the original Swedish book on Antti's UFO experiences and trips with them. That book was published in Sweden, and this is extract from this Fantastiska Resumed UFO, Besök hos Utom Jordiska Civilisationer, of Sunhjelthog Antti Jonsson from 1989. As I, Rune, have written before in the book, they, the extraterrestrials, have had great concern regarding the rearmament and the danger of nuclear war here. This has been one of their main tasks, and especially since the Second World War, when the capacity of destroying was pretty huge through the nukes. In the same way as small children need parents to protect them until they can think and understand themselves, similar also mankind have cosmic parents with the same task. The principle of guardian angels, a lot of UFO contactees have told about this, and in Sweden lives such a man fairly unknown to the public per se, Antti Jonsson. Though after he wrote a book about his experience in the last 80 THS, he has, to some extent, been known within the circle of those interested in the phenomenon, and by such searching and open people. But at the same time, the dark forces became aware of him, and in that respect, he told something interesting. This he told in the summer of 2001, when I and a friend did an interview with Antti about his experiences. In this connection, he told of a time after the book was published, and the case became some known, that he was visited by a person who tried to persuade him to stop his lecturing and information activities. And the story was very reminiscent of visits by the so-called men in black, for the man was dressed exactly as in the typical dark 50 THS style, as well as the black hat. But some really strange thing happened when he asked to visit his toilet. I do not know if he had got coffee, but it's not the issue. For the mystery was that the agent was so long inside the toilet, so Antti began to wonder if he had been sick of an ailment. The toilet had no window, and even after calls and door knocking from the outside, there were no reactions inside there. Well, then only to screw out the lock from the outside to see if the man had fainted or. But there was no man inside. He was simply evaporated. Gone. Dematerialized, is another word for the same. So much suggests that this was a real MIB. Like those said to belong to a small group of negative space people who typically visited dangerous UFO contact people in the 50-70 THS, and tried to stop them from telling about their experiences. Possible in collaboration with the hidden power elite, the hidden behind gov.us/Illuminati. Who for long have had access to high tech that they have stolen or traded from a particular ET race, which they have secretly cooperated with, since the late 40 THS or 50 THS, to inside people and other leaks. On this visit we did in 2001, he also told of his examination from the Swedish Air Defence/Military, as is very typical in such cases, along they thought would deny it later. But then back to Antti's experiences in the 80 THS, his primary contact person out there was a woman who looked like a normal young Swedish girl. Later, he had also meetings with other types of people. Apparently of other races. But for such initial contacts, it seems to be quite common, from the space people of the Nordic races, to use women. His hostess said her name was Jenny. She took him for many trips to her home planet, and demonstrated, among other things, how they have a society without money. Instead they registered the consumption and all matter they needed and used, took out for personal use, in the community. And so they could take out everything of commodities and things in accordance with what was rendered or made of work time to the society. Yes, as nearly all of the cosmic societies I have read/investigated around, they seem to live in such societies that very strong reminds of cosmic, free, communism, and that is surely one of the main reasons why just the USA used so much energy on hiding such info, as just that ideology has been their main enemy. Exactly the same type of money-free economic system was explained out of the Kurenda Contacts from 1961, see anywhere else in those pages about it. And as it is described in both these cases, it seems to be the way the economic system functions, in the real human cosmic societies, as also described by the clairvoyant Danish Martinus, already from around 1930, Livets Bog Part 1. He saw and described it as the coming future society on Earth in about 500 years. It seems like all these cosmic communities have come out of the each battle against all, the mental war that still goes on here, and have understood the final solution, that everyone must work together and cooperate. Yes, on those higher levels, planets, it seemed to be the inner longing to serve and help each other and the community, that is the driving force. Such a society where no one claims the ownership of something or someone because all is still available to the extent that it is needed. But in his second reporting trip with them, the 14th August-84, came another spaceman, and not Jenny, to take him. He, this spaceman, said, "You will see evidence of self-destruction. There were people on an almost similar planet as yours, which began to build nuclear weapons and began to fight. It began as on Earth with a war between different groups of individuals and ended with nearly all life destroyed. What exists today is only spare vegetation and some plants that we have developed in an attempt to build a new civilization. This is what we will show you, so you can understand what you are about to do with yourselves and your planet. Others have already seen it, and now it's your turn. We have studied you through thousands of years and the same pattern is now created for you as it was for the Delephs." A former civ. Which Arun interprets to be some early Pleiadian Lyran space settlers. And he was shown their advanced technique, for example, being able to cut stones, as easy as we cut wood or other soft material. He was told that it was those who was behind the technique behind the huge structures, as those that existed in Atlantis, and those we can still find, for example in ancient Egypt, the pyramids and big stone temples elsewhere, by the Incas +. From the chapter Visit on the Home Planet on the 3rd of May 1985. And here tells the above-mentioned Jenny, "We also have an organization, which is equivalent to what you call the United Nations. Though the governing body, main center, is not here, but on one of the other 18 planets, and we are not in action, on Earth. We have tried to get in touch with you on many cases, but you/Earthmen are always negative. If they have seen us, it is still said that we do not exist. Or you also have simply tried to defuse us. But you have not succeeded, and if we wished, we would be able to dissolve the entire planet in their bits in a few seconds. Or as other ET contacts says, they could have taken, invaded the Earth, if they had wished, for example, in the Middle Ages. In spite of we're opposed to anything on violence, we have weapons, and a long time back, such weapons were used for war, also by us, before we had experienced enough pain and suffering. Now we use our weapons only for peaceful purposes, like to destroy what you call the garbage in space. But we have said, that on the day that you stop testing and building nuclear weapons and the like, then we will show us for your governing authorities, without being rejected. Now, it has even gone so far that some of us have been put in prison by your military. And trapped in order to silence and hidden away. But we have taken them home, and many of your authorities already know that we exist. But they will not publish it, for what they assert, it would be chaos, if the public got to know. But the real reason is that they are afraid us to take over, so they no longer can rule over you. They, the might people in Gof. And Milite, believe they are created to rule over the whole universe, since, they believe, nothing would be so high as an Earth person. But they do not know how wrong they are, for you are by no way special high developed, compared to races on other planets." Visit again to Jenny's home planet in June-85. Ante writes in the book that he was called for, contacted through the phone about a meeting early this day, 06.45, of Jenny who agreed to retrieve him. It was some time before Auntie understood that who it was, in fact, his space women, who actually called. He then rang his job who agreed him to get free of the job that day, and so he was picked up at the agreed place, and she came directly through on his car radio while he sat waiting. This was before cell phones, but they had, in other words, other ways to get in touch, beside the telepathic way. The night before, he had thought strong of her, and this had she intercepted, she said. First, she regretted the illogical way they had tried first contact with him. It happened when he in a wind night in February.84 were on his way home from work, and was stopped by an object that was just off the road. Out came two people who tried to take Auntie into the vessel with force, but he was afraid and resisted. Well, there was every indication that he was prepared on a subconscious level, but this had evidently not moved into the day consciousness. This entire experience of the first failed contact experiment can be read about in the Swedish book, När kontakt med UFO, Close Contact with UFO by Eva Olsson and Tony Eckhart, Shikana Media 1997, and also a video was made of them on these and some other Swedish contact cases. But at the meeting now, this Jenny regretted this, and said, as I have explained before, they did it, the first contact attempt, so stupid, the ones that should bring you into our ship. We then had to start from beginning and take one step at a time, so you should understand that we would not do you any evil. We would never do you or your family any harm, or anything against your own will. I will instead protect and safeguard you against the looming dangers that you could conceivably be exposed to. What you should have of plans, do not move from your home country, Sweden. It, and some other nations are the only ones that will come well through the war that's going to break out, if you continue to arm as you now do. Remember, this was told in the last days of the Cold War. You, Sweden, will not be directly involved, but you will feel it, through rations of various kinds, and also on energy lacking, you will be struck. You will be forced to accept major migratory flux of hungry people, innocent victims that have been mowing. All due to the fact that some refuse to admit that none of the two large countries will be able to win anything by starting such a nuclear war. And here I must runish a comment, the statement by the Jenny here is in line with what many concerned ETs or gardeners expressed during the Cold War, and who actually came to an end, at least for now, a few years later. A number of sources, of course, unofficial, says that the president, certain people in governments, in both of the superpowers, met representatives from the Cosmic Union that monitors the Earth, and was put under pressure from them sometime in the 80s. That with the intention to dismantle, stop the Cold War, and end the mad arms race. I have, among other things, heard that one of the threats they came up with, was that if the superpowers did not listen, the Watchers would make some demonstrations. And that was made in the form of the Chernobyl nuclear power station exploded. This happened roughly at the time when Auntie had these contacts. So back to Auntie and Jenny, where he is in the extension of the conversation about the looming war, as she warned of, and Auntie asking her if they should be able to do anything to prevent it from happening. Auntie said, with your knowledge and technique, it should not be difficult to put a halt to it, and there are also a lot of other things that you should be able to do to help us. You should be able to warn us ahead of disasters of various kinds, and help us to do something with the famine that prevail in large parts of the world, not to speak about all the pollution of the environment of our nature and our water. And his cosmic hostess and teacher responds to it, to that, the simplest answer I can say, is that you have to learn to take responsibility for yourself. If we were to make an intervention, and take you out of difficulties, then you know that it does not matter what you do, as we will always stand behind and help if it goes wrong. Look at your social clients, they do not have to do anything, but just go and get the help through the social office, when they do not manage to pay their rent or their food. What would happen if people do not need to solve their problems themselves? All of those billions that your military costs, Why do not take those and use them to cultivate the great deserts by building water supply, and also to improve wastewater plants for the industry? Well, you may respond that it would cost too much, and also would lead to great unemployment. But on the contrary, it would provide employment for several generations to come. A little later quoted, now I can well disclose to you that we also once had these same problems as you. We were also a warring civilization, but people understood later that it could not continue. The people took the matter into their own hands, organized themselves and took over the power themselves. They destroyed all the weapons and weapon factories. It took many years to get it changed, but over time they also got the rest on their side and got all to understand that they had been on a wrong way. As you know, it was not good with Delefs, who made half of the planet uninhabitable, and the rest are not much better. Those who survived to nearby places, had to starve for many years, where they were living in caverns and survived on what they could cultivate and capture of wild animals. Yes, they lived as Stone Age people. And he taken to a base in the sea about a month later, he was again contacted. This time he was contacted in the middle of the night, and was in a strange way only led to a certain meeting place. He does not explain how this leading happened, but says he finally ended up somewhere between Urshult and Ryd in Småland, southern Sweden, where he lived. Here he waited and said that the same flying egg emerged, reported in present, now time, it stops behind me, a little above ground. Just when I shall enter the egg, something quaint occurs. It sounds like a car coming at a distance, and its headlight highlighting the entire plains, and I said to myself, now they will have to see both the egg and me. But what happens? I turn to the egg, only to discover that it is no longer there. But when the car is gone, the egg is back. I enter it, sit down where I usually used to, but neither I nor the man who sits in front of me, say anything. We leave the place in the western direction into a very low altitude. Here again, a comment about this shielding of the ship, which he calls the egg. This technique to make themselves invisible can be done, as far as I have understood it, in several ways, either by raising the rate on the field around the ship that thus forming a frequency field that prevents the light from the ship to reach out, or that the light of the same is bent around the vessel. Such techniques are described in other UFO contact cases, for example, in the extensive material from Mir, Semjays. For civilizations centuries or millennia ahead of us in technical development, this is probably children's game to achieve. So we go on with Ante's description from the book. When we fly a few minutes, we are above water that has to be the ocean. After perhaps half an hour, we go lower down, and I see lights coming from ships or boats, both large and small. Now we cannot avoid being detected, I think, but for the first and only time during this trip, he says something. What you will see, has no man seen since several thousand years. Soon we go down in the water and disappear into the depths. After about 5 minutes, I see something so great that it hardly can be described in words. It looks like an entire city underwater. There are strange buildings that I have never seen before. We stop in front of something that resembles large hangars, and on these there is something that I also have seen in previous experiences. Some big shiny spheres that are sitting on some poles up on the roofs. My pilot goes up to the inner wall and a, until now, invisible door opens and closes behind him, and a moment later I see him through the water outside one of the hangars. While I sit looking at all this peculiar, I see a person who swim out there, but not in any diving suit. Some fish, large and small, also swim past my window. A little forward I see a person standing on guard. He keeps a rod with a ball on and is completely silent. I look out the window of the pilot, and then see something that gives me a shock. Some later into another contact is reported colon dot dot I ask I have wondered much on how they can stay underwater without any special diving suit. And got the answer, dot our suit is very special, he says. By the help of it we can make an invisible surrounding force field, which can repel the water for a time. So maybe he did not swim at all, but maneuvered his body by some magnetic / anti-gravitation force. Ro remark, the underwater area where we are is stone set, flagstones, all the way as our old streets, and a bit further ahead on the left, are three pillars and broken masonry, which is reminiscent of a temple ruin from antiquity. I can look into the pilot's instrument panel, and then see some sort of map, but without locations. This is when I get the idea to try to draw one of these maps. I have prepared me for such experiences a little more in recent times, so I have pen and a small block in my pocket. I cannot draw so much until my pilot is back. He has been and picked up a box of some kind. He opens the door in the floor and takes up a similar box, and puts it back as he picked up the other instead. So he goes out with the other box, and is gone so long that I can make a drawing of one of the four maps found at his place. Now he is back again, and we are on the way up to the surface of the sea. Well up, I look at large ships, vessels, 700 to 800 meters further away, and then we disappear up into the dark night sky. Interpret this to be normal ocean ships row, I cannot see much more than many light below us now. After a while we pass a city, which after all lights to judge, has to be quite great. The rest of the time, I see only some light here and there. After a time, we are moving down to a couple of hundred meters high, and come down to the plains where I was picked up. Soon I am again by the stone pole and watch as he leave the place in the darkness. For me is it only remaining to go to my car to drive home and go to bed. End of report of this chapter. One can speculate to where he was taken, and those who agree that there exits many downed or entirely flooded cities, from earlier civilizations, this is not so strange. Perhaps it was into the Atlantic Ocean they went down and visited the remains of the old Atlantis. A new visit to a submarine base. This took place in September 1988, and Antti writes he had not had contact to them for a long time, but no mention of how long. This time, he sees that they are flying over Holland, Belgium, France and Spain, where they turn westward across the Atlantic. He says that they fly around an hour before the diving down into the water where it is ever darker, until they come down in a kind of illuminated underwater valley, with waving fields, and pointed peaks, or mountain ranges. So we stop in middle of a stone wall, and in the wall is a huge heavy port, door that opens up sideways. As far as I can see is of metal, about 25 by 25 meter in square and maybe 5 to 6 meters thick. When it is completely open, we by gliding enter an unthinkable large cave, perhaps a few square kilometers large, with entirely smooth walls and edges to 5100 meters height. Above the regularly smooth, it has more uneven surfaces. We have stopped on a shelf that seemed to stretch around the cave, and in the cave wall is found additional gates and doors and stairs that lead up to other ledges. My pilot leaves the egg, swim against a door in the stone wall. It opens, and it can be seen a room inside. There may be a form of sluice, and even the large cave must be built so that it can be cleared, emitted for water. Why should it be otherwise? Stairs and railings on the ledges. Another thing that strikes me is that the major ports are numbered with completely normal numbers. In other places I've seen, has only had a few geometric characters, squares, triangles, circles and dots. Between some of the ports are a few kinds of images, and on these is maps drawn. Some behind me is an entrance with the digit 4, and I can also see the numbers 6, 7, 1 and 7 above is 5. Between 6 and 4 hangs a frame with a map image of Europe, Africa, North and South America, Greenland and Antarctica. In the Atlantic, a dot to the map, between North Africa and Florida, can be found a large selection with a red circle, and from this circle, there is more red lines to different places on the map. There are one to the North Sea and the Arctic Ocean. The line that goes to the North Sea are numbered with a 4 figure. The same as is on a port in the cave. / line NR4 stops in the North Sea, just outside of the Dutch and German coast, where it ramify in a further four lines. If I do not remember wrong, one went to Austria, one against Norway and Sweden, one against England and one against the Soviet. For each line on the map, it appeared to be a number that has a transcript of some of the smaller ports in the cave walls. Whether these ports will lead to some kind of tunnels in the subsurface or water, I do not know. It must have been half an hour ago, since my pilot went away, but now I can see him again coming out of a door in the wall. Next lights a blue lamp, and just after he has passed, the light shifts to red or yellow-red. I hear a sound, and soon he is inside the egg. The major port is open, but we do not go directly out of the cave, but follow the cave wall inward. When we have reached the far end into the cave, I see some incredible. In the wall are large windows, 10-12 meter wide and 5-6 meter high, and within these windows, it is life and movement. It appears to be a kind of workshop of any kind. There are vessels, like those seen before, and others, and there are human beings who work with anything. After we passed the last window, I can see something just as strange, namely rockets or similar. On one of them is United States written in large letters, and something else that I do not perceive because the space behind the window is dark. I immediately begin to wonder what I've seen, and try to get answers of my pilot, but he is completely silent. Soon we are out of the cave, on the way out to the surface. After about an hour, we are back at the starting point at home in Smaland. The whole journey took not more than 3 hours, including the visit into the cave. The book does not speculate more on what he saw down there, but chances are that this was atom rockets, missiles that the space people have taken care of. Whether they have been shot out and taken down in the escape or if they only have been dematerialized and picked up from their silos is merely a guess. But in any case, do I interpret this as one of the tasks that our watchers do, to make sure that we are not allowing to destroy the planet? Read also on this nuclear watching on this link.